Everyone's attention, please. Hello. Always wanted to use that line. So it's my pleasure to open this symposium and to thank all of you, former students and colleagues. Oh, it's a little bit redundant to say that, since anyone who's ever worked with Eric is in some sense a former student. For coming here today, some from very far away, to pay tribute to a great Canadian man of science, and to celebrate his, what I think many of us would agree is his greatest contribution of all, which is 42 years of teaching first year physics. And I want to read very briefly a little excerpt from an article that Eric himself wrote about the special joy of teaching first year physics. During the 40 years in which I have been privileged to teach at the University of British Columbia, I have found that physics at all levels is an excellent vehicle for nurturing the inquiring mind. However, in first year physics, almost everything comes together in a very special way for achieving the goals of teaching. The general goals of any undergraduate physics course are to impart knowledge of the physics content, to enhance the student's sense of wonder, which is such an important human attribute, especially for the pursuit of science, to develop the student's analytical skills, which are essential not only for understanding physics, but for almost any other field of human inquiry, to describe how science works and how effective mathematics is for this purpose, to contribute to life-changing experiences, which should be part of a university education, and to make the course a challenge to the intellect and an enjoyable learning experience. A number of circumstances make the first year so special for attaining these goals. The students enter the university with great expectations. They are not jaded, and their sense of wonder is largely intact. They respond to good teaching, and their learning ability appears to be at a maximum. So I really would like everybody to try to remember what it felt like to be a first-year student and to have that intact, unjaded sense of wonder for two reasons. First, so you'll be prepared to absorb the wonders that you're going to hear today, which is some of which are very impressive. And secondly, so that you'll be prepared to dig deep and donate to the project for which this is partly a fundraiser, namely the first year student research experiences. The idea there is that first year students are not eligible to receive the subsidies for summer employment and research that NSERC provides, the undergraduate student research awards. And that seems an unfortunate situation, since first year students are the ones that are most likely to be influenced and impressed by such an experience. And so we're trying to raise some money so that we can extend that opportunity to first year students. And so hoping that you'll remember that. I'll say more about that at the reception. But now it's my pleasure and honor to introduce the Honorable Stan Hagen, who's MLA from Comox, who is going to be the actual session chairman for this afternoon. Stan.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me okay? Is that better?
Yeah.
There we go. I used to be the Minister of Science and Technology. Which takes me back to when I first, and I see lots of friends here in the theater. It takes me back to when I first met Eric Volpe. And I would never tell you that I was a student of physics or that I even liked physics. In high school or university. But I was involved as the Minister of Post-Secondary Education. I was the Minister of Advanced Education, Job Training, and then we had a little thing going on with the Geodesic Dome in downtown Vancouver, and I was approached by a group who wanted to turn it into Science World. And I thought that was a really good idea. And so I lobbied with the Premier to make that happen, and it was Premier Manningham at the time, for those of you who are here from BC. And I guess the Premier was so impressed with my enthusiasm for this project that he decided to move science and technology from the economic development portfolio to the advanced education portfolio, which made a lot of sense, because it's important to have that interaction between pure research and applied research and the university community and business. So after I had this portfolio for a couple of months, people started getting at me about, you have to go visit Triumph, and you have to meet Dr. Eric Vogt. And I said, well, what's Triumph? I mean, I had no idea what it was. But I did. I came out here, and I will never forget that tour of Triumph that Eric gave me. It really kindled an interest in what was happening out here on the UBC campus. Then, of course, at the same time, he outlined the plans for the Kaon factory. And I got to tell you, he really hooked me. And I don't know how many years you have been working on this project there, but I know I worked on it with you for 8 years. So you had spent additional time prior to that. Another friend of ours who traveled with us around the world putting the money together was Dr. Jim Ray, who was going to be here today. He's an economist, but his wife is ill in the hospital. So he had to, I know he talked to Eric this morning, and he talked to me, but he couldn't be here. But we would travel to the G7 countries in Korea to sell them on the Kaon project. And as it turned out, Jim, his PhD is in economics. So he delivered the message on physics. I delivered the message on economics. And Eric Vogt did the political message. And he's much better at politics than I am. Just thinking about it, it was because of getting to meet Eric that I met many of you here in this theater. I'll never forget, for instance, visiting CERN and meeting Dr. Carlo Rubio. When we walked in there, Carlo presented my wife with roses, and it was just very gracious. One of the things that I was thinking about was when we were in Japan, in Kyoto. When you travel with physicists, there's two things that they really enjoy, and that's good food and good wine. And Eric, Jim wasn't feeling well that night, so Eric and I went downtown looking for a restaurant, and we found this place that served fresh Alaska king crab and tempura prawns. And we had an incredible meal that night, and then Eric suggested that we would walk back up to the hotel. Now, Eric's slightly older than I am, so when he issues a challenge like that, I know. So we walked back to the hotel, and if you walk with Eric, you walk at a pretty good clip. Anyways, we got back to the hotel, and I'm starting to have these pains of indigestion. And I'm thinking, oh man, I just shouldn't have eaten all that good king crab. So Eric, we got back to the hotel, Eric says, would you like to have a nightcap? And I said, no, I said, I think I'm going to go lie down on the bed and just try and get rid of these pains of indigestion. Then early the next morning, we got up and flew back to Canada. When I arrived home in Comox, I started getting these pains again. As it turned out, it was a heart attack. So I want to give Eric credit. Putting me into that exercise mode. but fortunately, as you can see, I survived the heart attack. That was 1993. I haven't had a tingle since, but it certainly is one of those remembrances that I have. Now, the challenge for me at that particular time was that the minister federally had invited the G7 ministers of science to Ottawa for a meeting, and one of the topics of discussion was the Kaon Act. So I was supposed to have a report in to him. My heart attack was on Sunday. The report was due Friday. So they helicoptered me from Comox to Victoria. I was lying there in intensive care. And I talked the nurses into giving me a phone. And so I could phone one of my staff members from when I'd been in politics provincially, and dictated the report to her with the help of Eric on the phone and Jim Ray, and we got the thing done. So that, and the other thing, I did not want the minister federally, the federal minister, to know that I had a heart attack, because they would be very happy to hear that, because then they would think that we would stop bugging them about this project that we were trying to do out here in Western Canada. So anyways, we got the report done, we got it in on time, and who was the minister at that time? The university?
Weingart.
Weingart, Minister Weingart, who I had many interesting discussions with as to why he didn't like Kaon. The other thing I remember about Eric, and I've been asked to talk for half an hour, but I'm not going to, because I'm really more interested in hearing what the other speakers have got to say, but Eric had this incredible way about him. In those days, he had, you know, the really fuzzy hair. Everybody thought he was Albert Einstein wandering around. And we would arrive at the airport, and I traveled with a green passport, which is a diplomatic passport. And Eric would walk up to the gate, to the person at the counter, and he would say, "Is there any chance of the ambassador being upgraded?" The first time he did this, I
sort of turned around to see where the ambassador was. And then I
so anyways, it worked. It was spectacular. And then she would say, "So how many traveling in the party?" So of course, we all got up there. And it happened time after time after time. So one time we were in Washington, D.C. for, I don't know, the 20th time or something. And but Eric wasn't with us. Eric was with his family out in Tofino. And we had a scientist who worked between Triumph and Long Island.
Doug Ryman.
Doug Ryman. Is Doug here? There he is, right there. Okay, so I'm going to tell a story about Doug, because we're in the Washington Airport. I think it was Dallas, I can't remember. Anyways, I said to Doug, I said, "Okay," I said, "Here's what Eric Wolf does." So all you do is you go up to the desk and you say, "Is there any chance of the ambassador being upgraded?" Now, I don't know how many ambassadors are in Washington, D.C. There's a lot more than in Vancouver. Anyways, Doug walks up to the counter, got the words down absolutely perfectly. "Any chance of the ambassador being upgraded?" "Oh, absolutely. She's putting all this stuff in the machine. How are we traveling?" Because it was Jim Ray and you and I had done. And, you know, she's putting all this stuff in, and she says, "Yes, you're all upgraded to first class, that'll be 1,800." So now I know you're a brilliant physicist. The other thing I remember about, and I'm glad that the reference was made to the teaching skills of Eric Fuller. I have personally met a number of students who have graduated in physics, and I always ask them, "Who taught you first year physics?" They invariably say Eric Wolf, and they invariably say that that had a profound impact on my life. It generated this interest in physics, which it did with me. It's just that it was a little late in my life. You know? I got a doctorate of laws degree, but I didn't have time to get a doctor of physics degree. The other thing I remember about Eric, of course, is his tomato plants. Because I grow tomatoes at home, but it's nothing like Eric's tomato orchard. You know, it's huge. And he's always ahead of everybody else as well. And of course, his love of opera and his talent in music and his knowledge of music. And one thing I learned from traveling and meeting physicists is that, and I assume that most of you in this room are physicists, you guys just have a broad outlook on life. And it seems to me it's a broader outlook than the average person. And those 8 years that I spent on the Kaon project were the best 8 years of my life, far enough. That's certainly. And you know, we all have memories of Eric that we'll be talking about today, and besides the technical things you're going to be talking about. But my next great pleasure is to introduce Nigel Lockyer, who, as you know, is the director of Triumph. And some of these notes were passed on to me.
You can skip.
Well, I'm gonna mention some of them. Triumph operated 33 years ago with the world's biggest cyclotron. Now with a staff of more than 1,000 active users around the world, its mission has evolved to encompass everything and understanding the fundamental nature of matter. I said that one time. I'm amazed at how much money you physicists are prepared to spend just to find out how smart God really is. But Eric sent me a note too. Nigel was Triumph's seventh director. And then he listed them up. Warren, Richardson, Sample, Volk, Asprey, and Shocker came before him. He was born in Scotland, raised and educated in Ontario. He has had a brilliant career in particle physics, primarily based at the University of Pennsylvania, but working at the Fermi Lab in Chicago, where he led the large team which discovered the sixth quark, the top quark. And he's leading Triumph at a time when it is initiating a major program with radioactive beams for nuclear astrophysics, and he has many new ideas for revitalizing Triumph's research in the coming years. Thank you.